Welcome to the Motivate Me Book Club. We read and challenge books to motivate us. Follow along as we uncover what may or may not work from these books, provide tools and resources for your goals, and interview people who have found a path to success through their reading. Join us to kick ass at achieving your goals faster and easier than before, one book at a time. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you. Here we are in late October, and the Motivate Me Book Club is still trucking on. I have to say, I'm kind of surprised. I did start this book club to bring together people who had goals and aspirations and wanted to read books that could help motivate them to their successes. Well, I didn't anticipate this to be as rewarding and encouraging as it has become, not only for myself but for others. But I also hoped to maybe read a few more books. But as life turns out, it is a learning experience to get things done, and it's not always what you expect, but best efforts forward. Pretty happy with what we have been able to do. So this is going to be the last book for the book club this year. What's going to happen is a bit of a review and reflection afterwards, but we're not done with the season, because if you think about the whole structure of it, we still need to have the challenge days of some of the books that we have read. So there will be episodes coming forward in reflection and review and an overview of the whole entire year in a few weeks. But this last book is going to, who knows, maybe be the clincher, or maybe just not add too much else to what we've already done. Let's give it a try. Let's not prejudge or make any assumptions at this point, because that's what this is all about. This is about giving things a shot, applying as much as you can, and then see what really is working for us. So far, we have been reading some pretty good books about habits. There's this underlying theme to this season, this first season of the Motivate Me Book Club and the podcast, and it turns out it's about habit formation and how to have good ones, what are good ones, and how to break bad ones. From Atomic Habits to The One Thing to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People to Start With Why to The Power of Habit, you could see that we just kind of threw it all in there without even preconceived intention. But I like it, and I'm going to go with it, and we're going to continue on with this book. The last book is Essentialism by Greg McKeown. It was published in 2014, and I'm curious if you have read it. I know that a few people have already, and that's where this recommendation does come from, or people that have been in the book club and on the podcast. But I want to see if we can really take some of these habits and these ideas of prioritization to the next level. This has become a New York Times bestseller, and it has sold lots of copies and has had lots of buzz. Now, let me just side note for 1 second, because as I've been going through book clubs and trying to figure out which ones I want to have, or sorry, have a going through books for the book club, I try to figure out which ones to have on and have readers read and pitching, you know, to all the members, like surveying which ones would you want to do. A lot of them have a lot of buzz and get exposure through their sales and this best seller list from the New York Times. And I just had this like moment where I wanted to know what the qualifications were for this. What does a New York Times bestseller even mean? Well, I did some research, and it's a really ambiguous and kind of subjective attribute or recognition that books are given, and not without some controversy. So this started back in October 12th of 1931. On a weekly basis, this paper will look at the sales numbers, some other external data, and also some very secret internal guidelines that they apply to books to then create this proprietary method of putting out a list of the best seller. So this is something that they created on their own. They invented a formula for attributing these things to a book, and other than those that are involved, it's not actually known in general public knowledge. So the controversy around it is because if you get put on this, it's just for 1 week of sales. If you do really well, you're going to then end up on this list, and it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because now that you're there, people want to know about you. So if what some authors and publishers will do, it seems as though that when a book is released, they'll just buy as much as they can within this week, trying to manipulate the data and numbers that contribute to getting on the bestsellers list. And so I guess some do succeed, end up on that list, and bam, now people want to know about them because they've been given this recognition. I thought that was hilarious. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, all of this is to take with a grain of salt and for us to judge these books for ourselves. We're going to read them, extract what we want to, and apply it as appropriate, and then really go with it if it does work. If it doesn't, let it go. It wasn't bad to read something that doesn't work for us. It's still good to see what another perspective is, respect it, and leave it there and move on. So just FYI, that is where a New York Times bestseller comes from. And this book happened to fall under that prestigious, little quotations there, titleship when it was released. Well, to give you a little bit of insight on essentialism, think of some of these questions that Greg McEwen poses. He asks, have you ever found yourself stretched too thin? Do you sometimes feel overworked and underutilized? Does your day get hijacked by someone else's agenda? If you have answered yes to any of these, there's a strong argument that the way out, so to speak, is Greg McEwen's Way of the Essentialist. Get into a little bit more of this at a later time when we do the overview of the book itself, but this is about a philosophy and a way of thinking if you want to be successful. He really argues that there is some methods in the most successful people, and his research and what he's discovered could help frame that a little bit better for us. Greg McEwen himself is a Stanford graduate, and the Stanford Graduate School of Business interviewed Greg and asked him 4 quick questions that I think kind of summarize from his perspective a little bit more of what the essentialist outlook is. But it doesn't go heavily into the book, so there is still room to read or listen to an audiobook if you choose. So have a listen to Greg McEwen.
I've spent the last 15 years pretty obsessed by a single question, which is, what is it that holds capable, driven people from breaking through to the next level? And the answer to that question, to my great surprise, is success. I first observed this working with executive teams in Silicon Valley, where I noticed that when they were focused on a few things, it led to success. But success breeded so many opportunities and options that diffused the very focus that led to success in the first place. And so exaggerating the point in order to make it, I found that success becomes a catalyst for failure, because it leads to what Jim Collins called the undisciplined pursuit of more. The antidote to that problem is the disciplined pursuit of less, but better. That means exploring the very critical things you want to pursue and being willing to then, 2, eliminate the rest, and 3, build a platform for effortless execution so that doing what is essential becomes the default position, not just the rare occasion.
How do you decide what's essential?
My position is that when people really get a chance to think and have the space, that they can quite easily discern between the things that are essential to them, important to them, and those things that are not. The problem is not our ability to discern, it's that we don't have the space to take the time to discern. Once we have that perspective, we can think through it. So my position is that we need to develop a routine that enables that space to think. In a world where we have so much information, we need more time to think and process it not less. And so, one CEO that I interviewed for the book has 2 hours on his calendar every day, broken up into half-hour segments, so that he has this space to stop, to turn everything off, to think, to see the bigger picture. I think we could all do something similar to that.
Why is it important to practice saying no?
The idea for many people of saying no to a senior leader, to even family members and so on, is so unthinkable, they just don't even experiment with it. So they end up being a novice with no. They just want to avoid this like the plague. But what I've found is that essentialists practice and learn and develop this skill. Kay Krill is the CEO of Loft and the Ann Taylor brand. And she said that years ago, she was really bad at saying no. And somebody came to her mentor and said, look, you've got to learn to get rid of all of these people and commitments that don't mean anything to you, because they'll rob you of the things that really do. And she said that because she got that feedback, she did learn over the years how to say no, how to push back gracefully, sensibly, but unapologetically. And now she says she's very good at it. And it saved her so many, wasted hours, wasted days, wasted commitments, because she actually learned to develop a repertoire for saying no.
Won't doing less at work hurt your reputation?
One of the executives that I interviewed for the book, because he was trying to be a good citizen to his new company, ended up saying yes to almost everything. And his stress was going up, the quality of work was going down. And so he started to, with an experiment, saying no more often, being more selective. And what he found was that the meaning of his work was going up, the value of his work to the company was going up, his stress was going down, and he ended up with one of the best performance evaluations of his career and one of the largest bonuses of his career. In that little story, there is the argument for essentialism, that by focusing on the few things that are really essential, we're actually able to make a more valuable contribution.
Why is less best?
I think becoming an essentialist is not an easy thing. I certainly think it's a revolutionary thing. You find yourself saying no when other people are saying yes. You're going to be saying yes when other people are saying no. But in the end, in the final analysis, anything less than the disciplined pursuit of the essential will lead to the undisciplined pursuit of the non-essential. And that's a price I don't think many of us would deliberately choose.
Essentialism is not one more thing. It's a whole new way of doing everything. It's about doing less, but better in every area of our lives. Essentialism is a movement whose time has come. What do you think? Do you believe it? Well, you'd never know until you try. So let's give Essentialism, the last book for the Motivate Me Book Club of 2019, a go. And we're going to do the overview in a few weeks and have a challenge day later on to just see exactly how well it could work for us. Grab your copy, grab an audiobook, let me know how it goes for you. Check in, tell us, we would love to hear from you. That's it for this week, folks. Have a great week, and we'll be back next week with a special interview for the Motivate Me Book Club. This has been the Motivate Me Book Club, presented by Pineapple Jen. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Click the subscribe button to get the latest episode as it lands. Leave a rating, review, or comment to help us out, and share with friends the podcast, the book club, or even parts of the books that helped you. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you.